All right. Supposedly being recorded. There it goes.
Yes.
That's right. yeah. So what are your favorite parts of the new dev pages?
I like the color scheme. I know you took some doing to work that out. I wanted lighter colors, darker colors.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with really partially. Yeah. I like colors on there, and the old one had a bunch of colors in the end. And this one, yeah, I'm not sure how much use partially done is going to get, or if there are going to be different stages of partially done.
Other list, because there's different shades of blue for how close to being done it was.
Yeah, and I don't know how accurate those ever were, right? Because there's always a problem with colors for being done, because there's two metrics for something being finished. There's like, how finished is it in parts? Like, how many pieces of it have you done? And what's the estimated time of arrival? And estimated time of arrival is something that I don't do very well, obviously. So, obviously really bad with that. So the partially done, it's like, it seems like for everything that's partially done, it should more be broken into having a new subsection with finished things and unfinished things or something.
Yeah.
But for whiffing purposes, partially done will suffice. If I'm just like, well, I pretty much did logs to do constructions, but I'm not quite done, so I just made it purple. Hopefully I won't have to use it for a while. There are some vague things on the list though that will probably always be partially done, so. Well, the whole game's always like that. I'm sure we're not done with anything. I made blue is probably actually should be purple or something. I mean, well, maybe not. Ability to butcher corpses with an appropriate tool, obviously not done yet, because there's like not a lot of skill interaction with that, and there's a lot of things you can do with it, but you have the ability to do it in a basic way. But
definitely.
No, it should be cool. It'll be
get
cool.
Items.
Yeah.
People on animals get items.
Yeah.
People make them stumble onto World of Warcraft.
Yeah, this whole crafting thing. It's like it's in dwarf mode, but adventure mode has been lacking there forever. And I mean, there's gonna be a lot of things we don't end up doing, like well, it's just that your equipment doesn't matter nearly as much as how skilled you are with things in the end. Whereas, generally in those kind of RPG games, the equipment has these massive bonuses that get more and more massive or whatever until you're working with tenths of a percent or whatever. So you can go from 99.7 to 99.8 effectiveness or something. And that's not, we're just not going to have anything comparable to that. But, I mean, it should be cool. What are you doing? What are you doing, you little fat kid? Little fat baby scamps rolling on the ground. Scratching the keyboard. Maybe your fingers should not be on F8. I don't know what F8 does in this program. What is F8? That's not expected.
I gotta say, I'm really excited about kind of the really kind of, I don't know, things you wouldn't think to be exciting, like the ground debris and sticks and underbrush.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, you can find like a rat's nest or something under a tree and then you kick it and then rats come out.
Yeah, I mean,
you gather the sticks.
The main thing there is like up here in a lot of the parts of the Pacific Northwest where there had been logging recently or whatever, and the trees, I mean, there's not a whole lot of old growth forest left where I'm at. And so there's a bunch of small trees. And when there are small trees, there's a crap load of underbrush. And it's hard to go places. So, I mean, a lot of places you have to go around, you know, giant bushes and all kinds of blackberries and all that kinds of stuff you just can't walk through. And, I mean, I don't want that to be super annoying, but it's like right now in adventure mode, there's like a few scattered trees in the forest and they're little teeny trees, but they somehow prevented everything but a few strawberry bushes from growing or something. And it's like, there are certain parts where you just should be walking through this brush and getting scratches all over your arms and stuff and mosquitoes. Mosquitoes.
Oh yeah, mosquitoes and malaria.
Malaria and stuff.
This is going to be the best. This is going to be so fun.
Yeah.
So you feel sweat trickle on your forehead.
Yeah. That's right. We don't have sweat in the game. I think Ivan has sweat. We're missing sweat. Sweat was a dev goal at one point. And it would be easy to do with a secretion now that we've got secretions. But it would need to be an energy-linked secretion, which we don't have. So it's pretty quick to add sweat, though. Pretty quick to add sweat. You just want to make sure it's not too annoying.
Yeah. I like the idea for making stuff out of stones and sticks. You can sharpen a stick, and then you can sharpen a rock. And you tie them together with a piece of rope you make, and you've got a stick on a rock, and you use that to chop down a tree, and then you have a really big stick.
Yeah, I guess one of the things we're gonna have to add to butchery products is the sinews that you get when you take out tendons and stuff, because I guess a lot of the tying of spearheads and stuff you do with sinews, or some of those things. I mean, there's I guess plants can be involved, and hide, like raw hide strips as well. Mm-hmm. Like leather strips as well too, and but sinew seems quite popular because you've always got sinew, and what are you going to do for it? It's not like I've never heard of. It's possible someone has taken a bunch of sinew and made it into like a cloth, but it seems like it's mostly used for bowstrings and tying stuff on and stuff. So I think that'd be good when you butcher a deer, then you can also tack on a few extra spearheads and stuff, because you take the deer sinew and tie things.
If the deer has antlers, can you use those things?
They would occur. It uses the exact same functions as dwarf mode. So you'd have whatever horns and stuff you get there, and then when you make one of those like bone chisels stone chisels. Then you should be able to carve horns shortly thereafter. When we get to the shortly in a development connects to other development sense, not necessarily an ETA sense, but it's on the list because it's under in dwarf mode. When you'll be able to specify specific jobs, like I want to take the horn and I don't want to just make horn crafts. I want you to make a little statue of the king or whatever. And so when you're in adventure mode, you should be able to pull up the exact same screen and say, I want to take this horn and I want to carve, pictures of my pet horse or whatever. And then you can leave it in your little hut or whatever. You have little carvings that you make of the animals that you've met. And maybe you can make a carving of the deer you just killed or whatever.
And you got the whole Shawshank Redemption thing going on. You're making chess sets and digging holes.
That's right. Well, it's gonna be awesome when we're thinking with the board games, when there's board games with pieces that they play. Like in dwarf mode, it would just be like a craft or whatever. Probably that's not like every single piece, just because of how dwarf mode, you don't want a lot of items. But in adventure mode, you could have the pieces, and then it'd be cool to have your own Tacticus set or whatever.
Yeah, with the hats and everything.
That's right, and then you go to the tournament with your Tacticus set, and you move your little pieces around on the board and stuff. It'd be awesome. But so starting with the basics, just being able to carve crafts, and then being able to carve specific ones, and being able to make the functional objects as well, rather than just the decorative ones. So yeah, no, it should be a lot of fun. I think because we put some time into it in dwarf mode, and we'll continue to do that, you know, adventure mode should pretty quickly have, you know, a passable sort of object creation system or crafting system or however you want to say it. It should be passable pretty rapidly because we've got a framework already. Although in adventure mode, there's just a lot more kind of tools and stuff that you're going to end up using. Probably going to have a backpack full of crap.
I just want to make a caveman world. It's a world full of cavemen, and I'm like the only one that knows how to make torches.
Yeah, it would be cool. It'd be cool to go in and just remove stuff from the entities. Just remove everything from the entities, remove all their swords and all that stuff, and then you just have these little huts everywhere. People with no objects, and then you could go and tell them the secret of making sharp stone.
And you'll be able to make huts, won't you? Or will that be?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where ultimately, I'm not really satisfied with using the dwarf mode system in adventure mode for making like a cabin or whatever, because you build it tile by tile and it's kind of weird. Like if you imagine like a Lincoln log cabin or whatever, building that, that wall or whatever, but you know, it isn't the end of the world to do it that way. it's really fine to start that way and maybe keep it that way forever. I mean, if we're eventually laying down entire long logs and building up walls, you know, three tiles at a time by stacking logs or something, then that's, you know, that's fine. But it's functional to do it the other way. And then, yeah, you'll be able to make little walls and I guess doors will have to wait until we know how carpentry is going to work. And in adventure mode, which, you know, probably won't involve a workshop, but will just involve having tools. And then if you have a table accessible or something, then you would have skill bonuses to making better stuff or whatever. And, you know, I'm not sure in the end what kind of tools are going to be involved, mainly because I'm just massively ignorant on all of this stuff and just kind of throw things at the last second.
Yeah, you have to get some carpenters and stuff on retainer to help you fill these fill these parts in.
Yeah, I just use the internet, which is iffy as hell, but it's
use Glue.
And I use suggestion threads. I mean, of course, I'm sure there's some good suggestion threads with actual carpenters, because there's lots of people that do woodworking. I mean, my father's heavy into that stuff. It's just he never managed to pass a thing on to me about practical matters. I remember, I probably said it before, but I remember he got me this AM radio kit once. You're supposed to like build an AM radio. And I was like 11 years old, and I never even opened it. And it was like a present too. It was just how much I'm not that kind of person. It's kind of shocking how, I mean, it was really rude. In retrospect, kind of insanely rude. But we did, I mean, we did build the kind of, I don't remember if they were called Heath kits or something. I don't remember what they were called. We built computers, but we didn't build AM radios, because we saw the computer, my brother and I, as a valuable thing, because you could play games on it. But the AM radio, it's not like we didn't listen to a lot of radio. And so it just was completely uninteresting, and he got us all these circuit boards and stuff, trying to get us into anything practical or whatever. And the reason he started us up on computers was so we'd know how to use computers, but he never expected us to actually do games later in life.
Yeah.
So it's not a disappointment necessarily. I wouldn't say he's disappointed with how we're doing, but it was not, if he had a plan, it wasn't that. So I don't know a damn thing. That's all I'm trying to say. I don't know a damn thing about carpentry or masonry or any of that stuff. And, just going to wing it and, take suggestions and stuff. And then you should end up with that stuff. But really, and the main reason I bring that up is not for tables, but for doors. Cause you're not going to have a door until we've got doors. And so when you make your little cabin, it's going to be, open to the environment, which is not the ideal situation, I'm sure.
What if you put like a curtain there, like you put a rug?
Yeah, I guess that's
some beads. You get like a little kind of like gypsy camp going on.
It's probably valid. And in fact, one of the things that the game is sorely lacking is like a tent or whatever, like any kind of high building or whatever. There's just nothing like that. Right now, it's all, and it's cause it's like they're all square or whatever. It's like, so you have to be able to build a tent that, I guess just pitching it or whatever, you'd need it to suddenly make a 3x3 structure or something. That with like walls and a little room inside. It's kind of the limitations of the tiles that make them a little weird. And then there are larger structures like that. And, And they're kind of weird tools and stuff. When I say weird, it's like, it's not like a knife or something where you've got to take like sticks and make a kind of frame to stretch skins on and stuff like that. Then that should be interesting, figuring that stuff out. It'll give you more fun things to do when you're tanning hides or scraping hides. Could kind of stretch them out and then they can dry for periods of time and all that kind of thing. wet and dry and all that stuff. Ah, yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, it does seem like there's going to be, like, I think you mentioned, like, some sort of, like, time skip ability with growing crops, ability to make time pass quickly, which wouldn't be, like, a sleep command.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things that's, it's not quite like a holy grail of stuff, like time travel or something that's impossible, but it's one of those tricky things we've kind of avoided. I mean, one of the reasons the sleep command works in the ridiculous way it does is because you don't have to abstract time if it's just pressing period for you 8,000 times. So it's going to be a little tricky, but you have to have it. You have to be able to skip a season and let the world kind of deal with itself. Imagine that's one of those things. There are a few things on the dev pages that are like little walls that we're going to crash into. Entity populations is one of the ones that'll take a while. Abstracting time is another one. So it's like I kind of want to plan my development around those and not start them so soon that we don't have a lot of the serious bug fixes out of the way, so that I can kind of work for a couple weeks on entity populations and people aren't going to be I'm not sure it'll take a couple weeks, but just theoretically working a few weeks on entity populations and then not have people being like, you know, well, I wish you would have made it so that when my dwarves make turtle crafts, they don't turn into fireballs and destroy my military or something. Or whatever bugs are still there, so.
Yeah, you gotta fix that one.
Yeah, yeah. There's a ton of serious problems, so for, you know, the next while still, we're gonna be doing it like we're doing it here, where we, you know, take out a few things, like butchering corpses or whatever, just blew out a few things, and then go back to the bugs. And the bug list is getting shorter, at least in not overall, maybe, I'm not sure about that, but in terms of serious bugs, there are fewer. And so we will eventually catch up. And when we catch up, then we can start massive amounts of work on the development list, and it'll be really cool. Because things will happen quickly. It's not like, I mean, a lot of these things are not hard. This is just going to happen. I feel pretty good about everything on the list. There are some vague things at the bottom about mechanisms where we haven't made decisions and stuff. And, you know, I can't say how long that kind of stuff will take or where that's going to go. But, you know, we're going to whip a lot of this stuff out too. So
definitely.
Should be cool.
You'll be able to plant grain. And then it'll grow, and then you can crush it into flour and make bread.
Yeah, I think all that's there. That's right. Yeah, we're thinking about which plants we wanted to be able to use, and it's like, you can start by just growing, you know, strawberries or digging in the soil underground and growing plump helmet somehow if you get seeds from the dwarves. And, then you know, you don't have to worry about anything but harvesting the plants after you pass time quickly. But if you're going to make a millstone or I don't even know how to say it, like a quern or whatever, then you'd be able to grind your plants, and that would give you flour, sugar, dye. I don't know what other grindables we had in Dwarf Fortress, but there's plenty of grindables. And being able to cook with that. And hopefully, you know, eventually being able to cook is going to open up a lot of doors for making the Dwarf Fortress kitchen more interesting too. Then there are other crops like the cotton style crops where you actually end up making clothes eventually. That's not, we haven't accounted for that yet. And, when we get the entity populations, you know, if you don't want to make your own quern or whatever, and grind your own stuff. I mean, you should just be able to take your grain to a mill or something that's in one of the entity populations, and then you'd probably have to pay some kind of millage fee or whatever, however that stuff works. And
that's where the term millionaire comes from, actually.
Yeah. So I guess billionaire comes from the bill, the town bill. And then there's the town trill, the town quadrill.
That's really how it works.
Yeah, so we got And then, yeah, that's where you can start getting into tyranny too, right? Where it's like, you must use the town mill. You know, if you're in this county, you have to use the town mill. You can't use your own grindstone, and you have to pay the fee, and so on. And, you know, we can get to, and the peasants can get angry when the fees get too high, and you can have peasant rebellions and
yeah,
all that kind of stuff. So yeah, because I guess the whole system can thrive on crazy ass taxes and stuff. So like things that end with A-G-E, like millage and quayage or whatever, and
barberage.
yeah, it's like, I don't know if it's like, if you're renting, there's rentals, but I don't know if people call it rentage. It seems like it should be called rentage. After all these A-G-E things, I've been bumping into all this massive A-G-E terms when I've been looking some of this stuff up. And, yeah, so, I'm, yeah, so, yeah, it's hard to say exactly. Yeah, cause it's the part of the kind of, gray area that I don't think has too much up on the dev pages is like, as we do the entity populations and site sprawl, it's like, what is site sprawl actually consist of? I mean, we know there are going to be markets. We know there are going to be inns. We know there are going to be farms. Those are the things that are posted. And, but there should be a lot of other crap out there. And, you know, what is it going to be? What's the frequency of it going to be? That's just we're just going to play that by ear. As, you know, what we need. Cause we're in a, with the entity populations, we're in a position now where we can make decisions like, do we want a realistic number of farmers? Because previously, when the world was just historical figures, the number of farmers could not be something like 90% or whatever, because that is not interesting at all.
Yeah.
If you would look at the history and you would be like, he farmed and his father farmed and his mother farmed and his brother farmed and all of their children farmed. And you just read the legend of farming. And, you know, it's just not effective use of your historical figure budget when you can have like up to 20,000 or whatever. And, you know, if 18,000 or whatever or of them are farmers, then, that's a memory sink. But now if you've got entity populations, you can have large numbers of farmers. If you retain something like 10,000 historical figures and you want to make 900,000 people in the world or whatever, it would be 90,000, whatever, farmers, then you can do that. And the question is that still the right decision? I mean, or is that the right decision now, or is it still the wrong decision? And I'm not sure. I mean, when you're wandering through land that's being worked, like you're in the kind of plainsy part of the world, and there's the human capital and a bunch of human sprawl. I mean, if you're walking by farm after farm, it's not necessarily a bad thing because you know you can go somewhere interesting if you want to, you just don't be here. And
yep.
It would be cool to see people working the fields and so on. And it would give you soldiers and give you peasant revolt people having those numbers sitting around idly, so that they can be levied or whatever and brought out to fight, or they can raise up and attack credibly. So it might be that the kind of guiding, you know, we have this guiding principle that we use in Dwarf Fortress. It's like if we don't have, you know, compelling reasons not to make it realistic, then using realism in the scenario tends to drive all the emergent behavior the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So that using proper physical numbers and using, you know, proper personality systems and stuff just tend to push things in the right way. And so using proper numbers of farmers probably is a good idea. And unless there's a compelling reason not to do it. And the one that existed before of historical figures being used up does not exist anymore. Now, of course, there is the problem though of the people that you meet should still be kind of interesting in a way. And if you're talking to farmers who have kind of fake generated history through the world gen events associated to entity populations instead of their own family histories or whatever, then they are, it is less interesting world to be in. But that's if you're talking to those people. And it might be that they would just kind of funnel you toward the interesting people in their neighborhood. Cause it's not like all the historical figures are just going to live in the capital now. They'll be spread around. You know, they'll be important people in most villages. They just won't be, everybody. And so it is a cost to pay. And you can only hide it so much with fake historical events and stuff. So we'll see. I mean, it's kind of a necessary change overall just to get army battles working right. Cause you need people. Or else it's just kind of like the tribal sort of headhunting warfare, like 10-on-10 or whatever the whole time. And it's just not good enough. So yeah, I mean, I hope people aren't too disappointed with that, that change. But I figured it'd be more me than anybody else because I'm kind of, you know, quite interested in now getting the correct, that was Scamps. I guess I should describe. Scamps is up on the desk and he's been slowly, he's laying down. He's been slowly moving his body forward and pushing the keyboard off the desk. And now I'm holding the keyboard in my left hand. And then he reached out and started clawing my knuckle. So, Mr. Cat just needs to be moved a little bit and maybe he won't be so troubled. You are a troubled boy. Spirits of your dark past haunt you and cause you to do bad, bad things. Don't move my things. My things are not for throwing off the table. What are you gnawing on that CD case for? It's not for gnawing. No, sir.
What CD is it?
Backup. Backup Dwarf Fortress, throw it in a CD case and transport CD cases. They're all over the place. Some of them get transported, some of them stick around. And he's gnawing on one of them. What are you gnawing for? Maybe a little less gnawing. How about that? How about that strategy? That's a good strategy. Yes, you've got little strategies in your life that you're following. Most of the ones you pick are quite poor. That's right, mister. Of course, he gets all the attention that he wants. Because he does bad things all the time. Does bad things all the time and he doesn't really get any punishment. What kind of punishment can you give a baby cat? You can lock him out of the room, but then he's just going to scratch the door for 10 minutes. What's this?
So I noticed fishing isn't on the list.
It's true. It's true. And
that's a grave oversight.
It is a grave oversight. There are, how many oversights were there? There were, in the adventure mode, there were, three really bad ones, I think. No medical skills on the list. There's no gathering of plants on the list. And the one you just brought up, which I didn't even remember until you said it, fishing. So, yeah, no, it's atrocious. And, it's like, I'm not sure they'll appear there, but they could happen, you know?
Well, if you can harvest plants, that's kind of similar to gathering them.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite similar might even use the same mechanism. And then it would just magically happen. People would suddenly magically be able to do something that I forgot to put in. But we could do it earlier when we do the underbrush and stuff. Yeah, we might need to add a crap load of poison berries when we do that too.
Yes.
There's a bright red berry. Or even worse, it's like, there's a little white mushroom on the ground. It's like, are you going to eat the little white mushroom?
See, that's like all you need. Just make a whole game out of that. Mushroom avoider.
Mushroom avoider. That's a good game. For someone who needs to make a flash game.
Plus, that would fit into the whole like gathering exotic plants and.
Yeah, because there's a whole thing of adding random plants, random metals, random vermin, random wilderness creatures, random entity creatures, and you know, being able to pick up a mushroom and it's just like you don't know what the hell that is. And it's like you might know about it if you were kind of picked some herbalism type skill from your embark, then you would have kind of your entity's knowledge and you might start with some basic knowledge. But if you get far afield and go off into the savage wilderness, and there are new things, then experimenting with your mouth, as you know you normally do in a roguelike, if they don't provide you some identification mechanism, experimenting with your mouth might just end up badly for you. Because we have throwing up in the game.
Yeah.
And we have all kinds of poison effects now. So you could just end up, you know, having your nerves blasted and unable to breathe. And I don't know. I there's a lot of nasty mushrooms out there. I know there's mushrooms here that'll just kill you.
Yes.
You're not supposed to
make the descriptions as fun as possible, though.
Yeah, we can add more poison effects. I'm sure people will look forward to having positive and negative effects in syndromes added.
Yes.
That should be cool. Should be cool.
And not even just mix zones. Like, you broke out in hives, but you can run really fast.
Are you see visions?
Are they the past or the future?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to kind of improve on the whole kind of, I don't know if it was originally NetHack or one of the other games had that whole like hallucinatory effect when you eat certain things.
Yeah. Daleks and stuff.
Yeah, and it's just like it changed your entire screen into kind of gobbledygook or whatever, and you'd use the look command and they would just all be kind of nonsense, right? It would be interesting to take that mechanism halfway and just kind of create more persistent, perhaps, but fake illusions so that you could, there could be a person that you're talking to who isn't there, who then just kind of turns into a snake and slithers away or something, and you're just like, what's going on here? And it would all be fake, because you're just kind of stoned. But when you get magic in the game, which, you know, artifacts or whatever, I don't know. It's one of those things where you want to do it sooner rather than later, but, later is the default setting right now for that. But in any case, when things like that can actually happen to you, then you wouldn't know. And it'd be good to be confused. It'd be good to have a game where you're confused about reality, because then that makes magic seem more real. Eating the mushrooms, we could start there. So I remember I remember when we were kids, Zach and I had a D&D adventure or something where he had a thing all planned out, just some standard thing with some goblins or whatever. I'm not really sure though, because I never got to see the actual plan he had made, because in the beginning of the story, in the beginning of the thing where I was out in the woods or something, I just decided to eat a mushroom. And he took advantage of that and just made the game get more and more strange as we went along. And totally tossed his script or whatever and was just messing with me the whole time and didn't tell me why until the end. So hopefully we can do the same thing.
Definitely.
Just make it all kind of come apart at the seams, but not in a completely random way, but just like, you know, sometimes you're seeing things or understanding them in a different way. And hopefully you'll have like a parchment or something so that you can write down your experiences and become famous.
Will character generation be changed up a bit?
So we had that one we were talking about before with the whole like heroes and demigods and starting scenarios and that kind of thing. I think that came up in a Dwarf Fortress talk previously, I think. And it's a matter of when to start that. Cause the more meat we put on the bone in adventure mode, the more credible start scenarios we can have, right? So once you're able to farm, then you'd be able to start in that kind of situation. And once there are more magical effects, starting as a demigod would be easier. And once there, so it's like, but that doesn't mean we should wait too long, because character generation isn't compelling at all right now. And so it's possible. I mean, there's a thing on the dev page about fortress starting scenarios, like starting scenarios giving a backstory for your fortress, often related to current world situations. And, you know, that might be a time when I start thinking about the adventure scenarios. just because it would be the exact same type of thinking. It's like, what's going on in the world? How does it relate to, you know, coming into a narrative or whatever? So yeah, I'm not sure, because we had all those ideas about how adventure mode character generation should work, but you want to have stuff to work with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if it just came down to like skills or something, like how many skill selections you get or whatever, then that's, I mean, that could be more formalized than it is now. Or just the, like right now when you do play now, it's like, I think you still start at a city and but you start naked still, but now you start with a spear and a knife.
Ah.
And it's like that kind of thing. It's like you want to turn that into a scenario or something. You want to turn that into, what is going on here? Why are you this person? Why are you naked outside of town with a spear and a knife? And how long is that going to work? yeah, it should definitely start to take off at some point. But right now, I still feel like I need to work on this other stuff. But it's like once villains are done, once treasure hunter is done, once thief is done, it's like, it seems like starting scenarios will just become a really natural thing at that point. So you'll have situations ready-made sitting there for you. It's like, I would like to start as a bandit under blah, and then you could be that person or whatever, and there would be something to work with instead of kind of creating a whole new set of circumstances for you. But yeah. And it's too hot for me to remember right now all the things we said previously about character generation, but I'm sure there were some good ideas in there that I'm not coming to mind right now. I don't know if you remember any of them.
But, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. If it weren't like 90 billion degrees, then maybe this would be a different conversation, but that's my thinking right now. How hot is it here?
Excellent.
Not that hot, is it? Yeah, I've become a temperature wuss though. Yeah, it's only 88 outside, but I don't have any windows open, so, and I don't have my fan on because I can't have my fan on when we're recording.
Yeah.
So that's why it sucks. I mean, I'll be fine when I turn my fan on. And, I can't have windows open because even though I have screens, first of all, it's a little noisy outside and that would interfere with the recording again, but also, baby scamps will not just be content to sit and look out the third story window, but he will jump up on the screen with all 4 feet.
Ah, yeah.
And it's a pretty crappy screen. It's like this apartment is a pretty old apartment complex, and the screen, it's not rectangular like it used to be. It's like there's bending, all kinds of warping and stuff, and so the screen doesn't really feel secure, and it seems like baby scamps will just kind of drop out of the window if I leave it open. So, yeah, I don't trust that process. I mean, the most I could do is open it a crack, but then we wouldn't really get much of a temperature benefit and we'd get the noise. So, yeah, that is the current situation. Oh man.
Excellent.
Yeah, there's lots of other stuff on here. This is going to be an exciting thing. We've got villains and followers, capturing people, breaking into fortified locations.
Sharp rocks and twigs.
Yeah, I guess
I'm super psyched. I don't know why. Gonna make bread.
Yeah, yeah, bread is
the staff of life.
It is. It is. That's about what it is. It's gonna be, and we won't need to do more. We can change the name of the game to Making Bread. Unless there's already a game called Making Bread. I mean, there's probably already a game called Making Bread because, as you say, it is the most exciting development going on in games these days.
It is in Cooking Mama, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I mean, Cooking Mama must have Making Bread. I play Cooking Mama now, so I've made
there
all
is a, things. I'm loading a Flash game right now. It's called Bread Making Game.
Yeah, whoa. So I mean, it could already be, you know, fully explored And when we retread old territory like this, I mean, we're kind of making a mockery of ourselves, but it'll be all right. I mean, we'll have to think of a way to break out of the mold, so to speak, when we are making our bread. But I have a feeling we're going to fall short on that, and it's just going to be like, you are making bread. You have made the bread.
You have made the bread.
I mean, you probably select. I mean, yeah, it's, I wonder how much hard, yeah, because you can go really hard with the cooking. It's like you want to, you know, do you want to take the flour, because there's going to be flour, and then you mix the flour with water in some kind of pot or something, and then you stir it a bit, and, you know, you might end up kneading and kneading and kneading and kneading and kneading. And then you stick it on a fire somehow. Stick it over a fire. And, you know, that could be the process. But then it's like a question of what is it when you've got that kind of wetened flour and how much water you add and all that kind of stuff. So it's like, how much is that going to work with the reaction framework I've currently got? How much rewriting would need to be done? Because you can definitely whiff the whole thing. You could just be like, flour plus any container with water or something makes bread or whatever. Or makes, I don't even know, there's not even really a bread object now. There's a food object. So it would need to use the food object subtype, which I don't know if that works with reactions right now. Yeah. No, it says, yeah, there's going to be need to be significant reaction rewrites probably to get that happy. But, yeah, it's just a question of whether you want it all to work with reactions or whether you want some of it to work with game mechanics, like the cooking process. You know, should you, because we got temperature and everything, but do you actually want to go down that road? So that if you've got like a cook making something in the kitchen and then a dragon comes by and flames out your fortress, it's like, well, that bread is cooked now.
Yes.
And, that wouldn't happen if there's a reaction for it, like a specified reaction, but it would happen if it works through game mechanics. But that's a can of worms. Yeah, we'll have to think about it. Yeah, we got thief stuff, treasure hunter stuff, ability to climb and jump in adventure mode and swimming around, traps and lighting, all the night creatures stuff. Yeah, there's all kinds of exciting stuff coming here.
Yes. All sorts of adventures will happen.
There will be adventures in adventure mode. It's been a long time since we had adventures in adventure mode. I mean, it used to be a little bit more fun, I think. Maybe there were some adventures in adventure mode way back in the beginning, but it doesn't feel like there's adventures in adventure mode now.
No. You can walk around and light fires.
Yeah. Yeah, but so we'll slowly be working back to making it better than it's ever been. But it'll take a while. Unless you like butchering things with rocks, in which case we're doing pretty well.
That's fun, yeah.
It's an adventure.
See how much meat you can collect. Leave it in a pile, and you know, does like the meat rot in adventure mode, and then there's like miasma and stuff?
I don't remember. I mean, I figured it would, it could be. It's possible that rotting is disabled in adventure mode just so the magic barrels would work right.
Oh, yeah.
But it could be that the magic barrels are magic and are the thing disabling the rot mechanic. Because if things are left alone, they'll rot because that's what happens. But I don't remember how strongly I fought rot when I went to do the towns. So it's possible that you could have eternal meat. And in that case, that's kind of strange, because you should get to like salting stuff and making cooked stuff last a little bit longer. And, what other weird things people do? You use sugar to preserve fruit or something. Is that right? I don't remember nothing. I don't remember nothing. I ain't skilled or nothing. So we got a lot to do there. Should be intriguing to add the salt-based industries. You can mine your salt and then I guess you grind it down or something. That's what the internet is for, so I don't have to know anything. don't know nothing at all about any of this stuff, but it'll be all right. Justice. All right. this is lightning conversation.
Digging holes is going to be fun.
Yeah, digging holes, digging in the soil.
Just make like a little
cellar.
Hole to live in. Yeah, just make a cellar.
Yeah. No, it'll be great. I mean, you can't, until we add some kind of digging, which probably require passing time, some kind of dig in the rock mechanism, you won't have like amazing underground fortresses, but you should, within short order, we'll need to get the entity site stuff first, which is the main problem, getting entity populations, but once that's in, which we're going to try and do as soon as we can, but we have bugs to fix first. But as soon as that's in, then adventure sites are going in right after that. And because we'll want to put them in because it's going to be too exciting. And then you'll be able to make giant towers and things and, you know, weird wood
out of
stone structures.
Out of mud. Can you collect mud and make, like, adobe bricks and then make a house? And then a wolf will come and... Well, you know how that ends.
you know, clay is abused in this game. Clay is not clay. There's clay in the game, but it's not used for anything. Except, like, I don't know. I don't think it's used for anything at all. And you should be able to. I think adventure mode is going to see a kind of renaissance in the kind of overlooked primitive industries, if you want to call them primitive industries, compared to like metal working stuff versus like clay and mud and all that kind of thing.
Clay pots and collect water in them and have a jug.
Yeah. I mean, adventure mode is probably going to be the way that stuff comes in, and some of it'll make dwarf mode after that because we've got the framework for it. And dwarf mode will just do it with less time and tools and so on. And we'll finally have that stuff because that's been neglected for way too long. But there's a lot of plans up here. So, yeah, it's hard to say what kind of side excursions we're going to take because there's obviously going to need to be a side excursion into medical skills to some extent so that you don't totally lose even when you win. It's like you kill some bandit or something, but you've got a little scratch on your arm, and then it gets infected, and you die. Because that's how it would play out right now.
Yes.
And that would suck. I mean, your immune system should be fighting for you. But yeah, so it'll be a little taxing until you get to that point. Oh man. Scamps is not running around or anything. He's just kind of laying on the floor. Temperature's getting to everybody. Especially since my computer's on and my windows are closed, that's probably going to increase the temperature quite by a little bit. Yeah.
Adventures.
Adventures and stuff, that's right. It's like we apologize.
Make the game fun.
We thank the listeners and now we should apologize to the listeners.
I'm sorry, listener.
it's like Zach and I were talking about how the dynamic is with three hosts or whatever, and it's like it's important to have a third host in a sense. Because if Rainseeker were here
cool things to say.
Yeah. In case this part stays in, he stepped out for a period because he has his important business to deal with. And so it's Captain Tastic and I are having a discussion.
Yes.
It's going all right, but we're
trying to emulate the primal primitive forces that will be included in an adventure mode.
That's right. There's going to be adventures and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited about all of the little crafting things and stuff and being able to do that kind of thing. I mean, I'm sure some people aren't, but that's why we have lots of things to work on. And but I'm also excited about all the hero stuff and everything. I mean, that's going to be really cool. Giving the game something to do, giving you something to kind of fight for or whatever. If you want to be a goody two shoes or whatever, then you will have opportunities, because there's going to be a lot of scummy people in the world. And you can bring justice.
To you, to set things right.
That's right.
Yeah, bring justice.
Justice.
Or outdo them. You know, make it a competition. Have a game.
That's right. Yeah. No, you're going to be troubled. I mean, it's like we have the thief thing, which is you know, it's a adventurer doing bad things. Now, the adventurer as villain, it's like I naturally end up speaking in those terms, and I wonder how naturally that's going to fit in with the mechanics. And, I mean, the villains as described are kind of like thieves. They do these raids on the sites and stuff. And, I mean, in a way, it's essentially the same thing. But there's this kind of intimidation factor that you don't have in the thief mechanics as described. It's like you don't ever just come up and strong-arm anybody or anything. And that I'm not sure quite how that's going to work, because the villains will be doing that stuff first, and at that point, if you're able to do that, it wouldn't shock me, because there would be mechanisms for it. But it's one of those things where it's like every dev item has 100 paths that lead out from it, so it's a question of making those decisions. But it would be cool. I mean, it's always fun to be able to play the bad guys, especially in the situation where you're not just like going down the same plot and answering answer B each time or whatever. The bad answer. It should be good. And your little followers will go with you, and if you just go around killing random citizens with your followers, they'll just be like, "What the hell are you doing?" And then they'll leave, or they'll try and kill you or something. Unless they're bad people, which means you'll be surrounded by scummy people if you're trying to be a villain. Because that's one of the important things when we add villains, is making scummy people. So the personality thing is so 20th century or whatever, late 20th century. It's like, people are open or not. People are, you know, they have different ways of living their lives. And that's how the 30 facet personality thing works, but we're gonna have to go way back in time to get the villains to act properly. It's like some people are just scummy liars who like to hurt people. And that's who these people are. Not all of them. I mean, it's not like we're going all in on the chaotic evil front or whatever, but so there'll be some desperate villains or whatever, people who are hungry, that kind of thing. But some people have bad natures. And there's no one with a bad nature right now in Dwarf Fortress, except for like people who get angry. I guess in Dwarf Fortress, that's probably the only thing that I can think of off the top of my head that qualifies as a bad personality, is if their anger management is really low and they throw tantrums all the time in Ford mode. Cause that's a personality directed thing right now. But it'll be a lot better. And then it's like when you put the vices, virtues, that's a way of saying it. I don't really know what we're going to end up calling them. Don't want to get too hardcore there, when those go in, then everyone will have them, and then they'll be in dwarf mode. So it's like, I've got to use a pretty good normal distribution, or you're going to have a totally dysfunctional fort. All these really, really shady individuals in your fort. It's like you could totally start a fort and have all 7 of your dwarves just be total pieces of filth or whatever, all stealing from each other and all that kind of thing. And they wouldn't actually do anything, because you need to put the effects in. And you need to make them think about that stuff in dwarf mode. And dwarf mode's a different mode from adventure mode, so it wouldn't all carry over instantly. So, yeah. So I probably shouldn't even show those in the personality descriptions until they're used. It's like, wouldn't want to call a dwarf a liar until they're actually lying. He has a propensity to be a total piece of crap. it's not fair.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and then there's the whole Thief mechanics. I haven't played a lot of those Thief games, so I'm not up on the technology there. Because there's a lot of it about...
Around.
Yeah, a lot of it is about, like, which way are they looking or whatever, like vision arcs or something. And that's something that I'm not comfortable with as a concept in general. Like, I don't like it when you're walking around and you can only see half the screen or something. Like... Mm-hmm. Because that's just not how it works. Or at least, if you were paranoid enough in a fantasy game, you have to worry about getting attacked or something, you'd be like, step forward, look over my shoulder, step forward, look over my shoulder, step forward, look over my shoulder, step forward, look over my shoulder. So it's like, it should just show you everything. But, when you're sneaking, you shouldn't be able to, I mean, when someone's sneaking, at least if it's you, or if the target of the sneaking is not the player, then there should be things like vision arcs so that you can have a guard walking down a hallway and then you can kind of run down the hallway behind him or whatever.
Yeah.
And
that's great.
Yeah, so it's like there are going to be vision arcs then, but they just don't apply to you or something. It's like I don't want to put them in for you. It's like someone should be able to do that to you too, theoretically. That like you're walking down a hallway and then they can run up behind and either attack you or run down the hallway. But if we put in vision arcs strictly, then you'll constantly have to stop and be paranoid about looking over your shoulder and stuff. And as realistic as that might be, it would not be fun. So. I mean,
Have it tied to like the perception ability or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, with the adventure.
You see him.
Yeah, it'll probably be like, it'll just end up having to be something like that, where it's non-directional for the adventure only. And for everybody else, it's like, you know, the guard might stop and look over his shoulder, but he's not going to be doing it all the time. And you can kind of sneak by and then you'd be able to sneak into places and stuff, and it should be super entertaining. So yeah, that's just another one of those weird little conflicts. The same way adventures having emotions and stuff is one of those weird little conflicts. But it should be pretty fun, and being hunted down should be fun. Causing you trouble, forcing you to sleep out in the woods.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so I don't know what else is going on here.
Neither do I.
Yeah, so if you don't have any other, do you have any other things you were thinking about?
No, I think we've covered all the best parts.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, we didn't talk about dwarf mode much, but. A lot of there's been a lot of threads on these. I think most of the stuff, because it's been at the top of Eternal Suggestions for a long time, it's like it's pretty well covered, I think. You know, I'll always be answering specific questions over in the Future of the Fortress thread if people have specific questions about any of the stuff. I've been answering them over there, so
yeah.
So that'd be cool.